Join us as we dive into the mindset, strategies, and practices that can help you make a positive impact on your business and the world around you. You're listening to Getting It Wrong to Get It Right. Are you struggling to grow your business? Book a free business growth consultation with Joe today. In this consultation, you'll receive professional advice, step-by-step guidance that will help you achieve success, best practices and tips for improving profits. Clicking on the link in the description or contacting us directly.
Doug Gordon, welcome to Get It Wrong to Get It Right. How are you today?
I'm great, Jim.
2017, it's the two of us met at a JT Fox seminar. As we left early, jumped on the lift and headed on our way. And since there, we have built a relationship. We have stayed friends. We have laughed together. And today I want to bring you on because this year we are going to be talking about, I want to ask you one question. How would you define leadership?
The word leadership links into obviously the word relationship. And a true leader builds strong relationships with the people he works with, the team he manages, and also obviously the clients that he serves as well. And it's interesting, in that word relationship, there's a ship that goes port to port in a direction. And as a leader, you need to make sure yourself and your team, yourself and your clients, yourself and your suppliers even, if it's that kind of business, are on board that ship, traveling in the right direction, or wherever the mission statement is and the goals that are aligned to that as well.
It's interesting that you say this because leadership can be presented in so many different ways and presented in so many different circumstances, like the community or the family. One of the things that we've been looking at here about leadership, decision-making, communication, listening, compassion.
Joe, I think the number one trait of a good leader is having very strong emotional intelligence. And that's where compassion and empathy obviously come in. Because you need to remember, obviously, as a leader, when you're speaking to a team, say that if there's 200 people in front of you, there's going to be 200 different perspectives of what you're saying. So we need to put ourselves in other people's shoes to understand that there's diverse ways of thinking, speaking, and acting. And if we can understand and empathize and have compassion for where our team is and our clients are, rather than just ourselves, or if it's outside of work, then you know where other people are, they might be in their lives. There's so many different things that can be going on in people's minds, their lives, and what's going on around them that we don't know. And that's why active listening, awareness, self-awareness, situation awareness, people awareness, if it is in business, market awareness, are so important. Because in emotional intelligence, it is about awareness, it's about compassion and empathy, it's about self-regulation. It's also about creating a sense of purpose, mission, goal, or inspiration for each of you and our own selves every single day to have direction in our lives, just so we're making sure we're not floating along in life. So yeah, compassion and empathy, I think, is massive, massive at the moment.
Talking about compassion and empathy, what about external and internal energies? How, if you hear someone saying internal, external, what does that conjure up for yourself then as well?
Yeah, so in terms of, you mentioned energy. So I believe everything in life is energy. Thoughts are energy, speech is energy. Thoughts lead to speech, speech leads to actions, actions leads to habits, and habits leads to destiny. But in terms of internal energy, that's your own self, your own soul, the way you think, speak, and act. And I think quite often what happens is when we meet people that might be struggling in life and they might be venting or complaining or whatever, they're not necessarily complaining about you. They're complaining about their own unhappiness. And as we know, hurt people hurt people. And the most important thing as a leader or any person in terms of relationships is the relationship that you have with yourself. And that's the internal side of things. So it's very important to make sure that you're aware of your own triggers, traumas, parental programs, and way that you act, so that you can have a look at them in a state of awareness and work out what works and what doesn't work in terms of your own self, in terms of keeping yourself happy and energized, but also, you know, with other people. And then the other people side is the external, your interactions of you with other people outside of you as well. And that can still be, that external can be within an organization, but it also can be with the clients outside of the organization as well. So it's very key to make sure that you start with yourself. Start with the internal, start with making sure that you're in the best state, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, And then that means that you can give out the best state to other people externally as well, and hopefully create the best possible relationships, best possible outcomes, but also tend to understand people better, going back to that empathy and compassion that you mentioned earlier as well.
You know, you've just wrote a book, you've done a seminar, you're a leadership coach, and you're also a healer. And you know, all these things combined, you know, must bring a certain type of client to, you know, to you. Who would they be, and what sort of people resonate around what you have to offer as well?
Well, I think the most important thing is, when you have a set of skills, is to be compassionate and empathetic towards all people in that way. And so you might find on my LinkedIn, you will see that I've been, you know, coaching people like the CIO of Dell, or the head of sales of Dell, or the CIO of Okoko, or Stuart Lancaster, the now racing rugby coach, but was Leinster rugby coach. And that's the kind of one side of it, you know, in terms of that business side. But then there's the more Buddha side, you mentioned about healing and stuff like that. I've also, you know, helped people who are suicidal or depressed or struggling with a lack of energy as well. And I think what I encompass the whole thing, the whole type of people that are coming to me, is that maybe they need to improve their energetic state. And that goes back to what we said earlier on about it could be mentally, it could be physically, it could be emotionally, or it could even be spiritually as well. And these are all interlinked, because let's face it, the physical outcome, say, of money comes from how are you thinking in terms of the mental, planning, strategizing, but also the emotional intelligence. How is your emotional state? And how are you spiritually connected energetically to your own self? Because I think spirituality is very much interlinked into energy as well. And the outcome of that spiritual, mental, and emotional sides will then produce the best outcome in the actual physical stuff that you produce, being either money or your own physical state or your physical relationships with other people as well.
Everybody looks online to solve those problems that they have. Excuse me. And they hear about manifestation and about energy. And they go, they hear stories from people that have done wonderful or achieved amazing results by just shifting their mindset. But I don't think people realize that that's something that doesn't change overnight, especially if you've been caught in a certain mindset loop for decades. You know, it's going to take an awful long time to change that conscious, subconscious, and the super subconscious in your mind. And sometimes they explain that it's like a toothpick, Doug, that you have to actually pry, because that's the work that's been done. It's not like hitting it with a sledgehammer. Would you agree with that? And what are some of the things that you help people with to sort of break that paradigm shift as well?
Oh, 100% agree, Joe. If you think about it, I don't know if you remember, you're going back, I think it was like 99 or 2000 or something like, I can't remember, don't quote me on the dates or whatever. Tiger Woods was one of the top golfers, he still is obviously, in the world, but he decided to change his swing, and he went with his coach, and his coach said he was bonkers, you know, why change something that was working? But he felt he wanted to be the best. He felt he wanted to be better than he was. And for a while, he didn't win anything. You know, it literally was, while he tried to change, he didn't win anything. He was not successful. But eventually, when he practiced, and got the neuroplasticity in place in terms of changing the way he, you know, thought, spoke, act, hit the ball, whatever it is, suddenly then it completely all came together. So yeah, the manifestation in terms of changing yourself to a different way of thinking, speaking, and acting can take time. I mean, I always say to people, even in my book, I say, you know, if you are looking at your traits and you're going to try and change them, use some affirmations, do other exercises, but it will take a minimum of 21 days, but preferably 3 months of consistent, disciplined work every single day, not just one day, not just 2 days, but every single day, because you need to implement and seed that subconscious mind, change the way you think, speak, and act, and change the neuroplasticity within your brain so that you are having different patterns in that way. And it's not easy. We all sometimes go back to it, even when we think we cracked it.
Well, explain to me then what you would define as daily consistent, you know, mantras for someone to sort of change that in 21 days. Because, you know, I've been slowly chipping away and changing things myself, I'd say, for decades.
Yeah, well, do you know what? We can read all the books, we can do all the meditation, We can visualize all we want, but we do need to take action. As you know, I've got my make acronym, which is in order to make it happen, you need to have the right mindset, obviously, but you then need to take massive action, have the right knowledge, and put massive energy into it as well. So, yeah, in terms of, let's say, for example, you're not actively listening enough, which a lot of men do. I put a video up yesterday saying, you know, quite often our ladies come home and vent, and they vent to us because they trust us and they feel safe with us. But often the man kind of starts to come up with all these ideas to try and put solutions in place rather than just listening. So what we really, really need to do is just actively listen. Anyway, so say that there was a trait that you weren't actively listening enough. In that respect, you might do a mantra or an affirmation saying that I am always listening with love and understanding the other person's perspective. But I believe that, you know, in order to say this, you need, in order to implement this, you need to say it into your mind. So by saying it out loud, it goes back into your actual subconscious brain. But also you need to practice it, and practice it in an emotional state as well, because where the energy and motion, the emotion is involved with the affirmations, with the way you're acting and trying to change yourself, it suddenly can be ingrained. And you can also use some kind of trigger. Like, say, for example, I remember Keith Barry, who's a friend of mine, he said that sometimes when he was nervous, he would practice faking not being nervous, and he would curl his toes up as he did it. So by almost curling your toes up, touching your finger like this, whatever it might be, some kind of trigger point to recognize when you want to change. So if you start to notice that you're doing something wrong, for example, that one of your old traits, go into this, curl your toes, whatever you need to do to get back into that trigger point of, oh, okay, I need to remember that I need to change the way I'm thinking, speaking, and acting.
Talking about speaking, I remember we started on the speaking circuit together. And I remember you gave me one tip, and I followed it. If you're preparing for a talk, stand in front of a mirror and say out the talk 3 times to yourself out loud. And that works. And that was a great tip that I got from you as well. So acknowledgement on that. Tell me this. Why do most people give up if they're trying to change those habits?
I think it's comfort zone. I think and it depends. And I say I think rather than I believe or I know, because it really comes down to the individual. It comes down to the individual, their history, where they come from. Let's face it, we're a product of our parents, our preachers, our teachers, and past relationships and experiences. So I can only speak for myself. I can't speak from others unless I'm working with them in terms of coaching or consulting. Having said that, having had the experience with a lot of people, obviously I've coached thousands of people now, I would say that a lot of the time it's the comfort zone. It's going back into what they know. It's not stepping out of that comfort zone. And quite often when we step out of the comfort zone, we feel elated. We feel like we've achieved something different. And we feel like we've had a really positive day. But it does sometimes take consistency. And quite often, I remember I wanted to get on a big stage in front of, you know, a few thousand people. And I got there. And then the next day I was a bit down in the dumps because I've been working this up in my mind for so long. And I got there. And then I was like, boom. The next day I was like, oh, well, I've done what I wanted to do now. Now I wasn't as good as I expected it. And what people forget as well is they think and they do things for them. They do things because I'll be happy when I do this and I'll be happy when I do that. But what we really need to do is think about the different perspectives of how the energy you put into the task that you do actually betters somebody's life. Some granny or grandpa, mother, father, brother, sister, or son and daughter. And what I mean by that is, for example, I was in the investment world, as you know, and I did pretty well. I was in the Times and the Independent for Success in the City, as they call it. And during that time period, I made a lot of money and I enjoyed it, but I always felt it was about, oh yeah, when I get this car or when I get this house or when I get this amount of money.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Exactly. Whereas, and so by the end of it, and the reason why I kind of left is because I had it in my mind, it was just transactional. Whereas what I could have done is I could have reframed it. We can all do this. We can reframe it in our mind as actually, by being an investment management guy, I was helping that granny or grandpa retire younger, give more to their children, their grandchildren, buy a better retirement home, and have a better life. So when you reframe it in your mind, whatever you do, whether you're a secretary, but the interactions that you have, or maybe a salesperson or a CEO that actually ends up bettering somebody's life by the product you're serving or the service you're giving, then you can put that in your mindset. And then you know that actually I'm bettering light. So now I spring out of bed knowing that I'm going to go and do the next presentation, because even if I touch one life, the ripple effect of that could change lots of lives.
Yeah, we're here to serve. We're here to serve.
Yeah.
What? Oh, you've helped thousands of people. So the question, what is, out of all the people that you spoke to, what is the one similarities that they want to change? You know, when we speak to people, we know that they have doubt or they have fear or they have anxiety, or they just don't have the confidence in themselves. What have you noticed that one thing that everybody wants to be better at, to have?
It would be relationships, 100%, in terms of love, feeling love, being able to give love, and have love for yourself as well. Self-love is probably one of the most important things that we can really gain for ourselves. Because when we have true self-love, and I don't mean egotistical, when we have true self-love for ourselves, then the only thing that we can have from inside is giving out love. I remember I was staying in the Monte Carlo Hermitage Hotel, and the concierge there was amazing. And I was at a sales conference. I was the sales director at the time. And I went up to him after a few days. This is in my book, this story. And I said, Philippe, you're absolutely amazing. You remember my name and I don't even know yours. I had to look at your badge and you seem to know everybody's names. What's your secret? And he said, well, Mr. Gordon, I have an amazing boss and he's so caring and loving to me that every single day he asks me, how am I? Can I do anything for you? Can I make your life better? He said, and so because I feel loved and appreciated, the only thing I give out is love and appreciation. He said, in my former job, I had someone who was micromanaging me and watching me all the time. So I was fearful and I wasn't as good as my job. And I gave out probably a fear rather than actual love. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's so important to show fear and appreciation for your own self and for others. And then you can create a positive life. And that's all people really want. And let's face it, it's not really the money that they want. It's potentially that maybe they don't feel secure enough to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And they feel if they have the money, they can then have tools to be able to attract a better boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. It might not. It's not always that, but it can be that quite often. I know when I first started working, when I was first single, I wanted to make some money. So hopefully I'd attract some nice girls. But really, if I was really confident and secure in my own self and loved myself truly from a place of love, not ego, I wouldn't have any concern about that, because then I'd stand in my own ground, stand in my own energy, and I would know that I would attract somebody who's loving, caring, and suited me.
Yeah, you know, I think you have to really have self-love before you can actually go and love someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a talk there a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about, you know, as we get older, we don't really need material goods as much. They have no value. Solitude is a blessing, being comfortable in your own skin, but also being able to have those wonderful relationships with people, because they reduce the amount of people as you get older. And also, which I want to ask you about here as well today, is past forgiveness, forgiving the past. And when I mentioned this in the talk, everybody kind of went, oh, there it is. Because a lot of people have guilt and shame that they're not willing to face. And it's one of the things which I'm learning as we go on, that it's the thing that is handcuffed people to their full potential. What is your own thoughts about past life, or not past life, past guilt, past forgiveness, shame, envy, and how people can break through on that to be free from your own experience in your own life as well?
Well, as a divorced guy with two children, yeah, I've totally been there. I mean, my ex-wife and I, we just grew apart. I had my near-death experience, as you know, and we talked about in the last radio show. And after that, I just had different values and different morals and different ways of thinking. I drank a lot less alcohol. And from there, then we just kind of went in different paths. And then the marriage broke down. And although there was nothing that went on or anything like that, it was just a change of paths, I felt terrible guilt for my children. And, you know, there were certain things that, you know, then because of that, I'd say she had that as well. Then there was fear on her side in terms of whatever. And then, you know, silly things happen. So I've had to forgive and forgive and forgive. And it's something that I realize you really need to go truly into yourself, and you really need to hold the other person in a state, even if they're not there, in a state as if they are there, and give them a massive hug. And I think the Ho'oponopono is a great thing that you can say over and over again. I love you. I forgive you. I'm sorry. Thank you. But also something that you mentioned earlier on about blame. And when we point the finger, there's three always pointing back at us as well. So we need to take responsibility for our own selves. We need to take responsibility for our own change. And I think what happens quite often in marriages, in relationships and everything like that, is sometimes one person might start to change and they might start to go on a personal development journey or something like that, a spiritual journey, awakening, whatever you want to call it. And the other person might not be there. And I think sometimes what we need to do is actually have the patience and understanding that just because they're not there, we need to respect that and not put ourselves above other people, but put ourselves next to people and support people on their journey in their own pace, rather than expecting them to be in our pace as well. So it's to have you, what you said earlier on, is to go back in those important words of empathy and compassion for others, but also empathy and compassion for yourself, because none of us are perfect. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And it's just to have the conscious awareness of those mistakes, which I reckon in the past, maybe back in the day, I wasn't. I was so positive all the time, and I always was, that I would sometimes not look at the negative so much. But sometimes it's not about looking and focusing on the negatives. It's just being aware of them, being aware of what are the things that you maybe rub other people up, you know, and it could be, I don't know, even you and I are big into service and helping other people. But I question sometimes, are we doing it? And I believe that we are, but I think sometimes, are we doing it because of a pure love for the other human being? Or are we doing it sometimes to look good? You know, because I know people who have been in certain charities and stuff like that, and they'll go out there and they'll be trying to be the best in the charity and everything like that. And the question is then, are they actually doing it to really help other people without expectation or anything in return? And would they do it if nobody was looking? Or are they just doing it just to look good?
Feed the ego and the, you know, driving that some sort of envy that they have inside. I just want to just jump back there. You said, you know, you were over positive. Do you feel, looking back at that there's a saying which is toxic positivity? Do you ever feel that you were on the verge of that you kind of had to pull back and go? Because I've learned through life, we have experiences in our life that actually we need to walk through so we can then teach others how to handle it as they come along the path as well.
Yeah, I've heard the words toxic positivity passed around a lot. And I don't think you can be toxically positive. I just think you need to be aware of other people, where they are. And I think that comes down to, you know, when we talk about the word relationship, it can be broken down to that word ship that we talked about earlier on. Then there's the relay in terms of conscious communication and active listening. And then there's the shuns, which is in a relationship, the expectations, the intentions. But most people have assumptions. And when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me in terms of breaking down the word. So what we really need to do is ask questions to understand. So when we're bringing, you know, what people perceive as toxic positivity, when they're overly positive in maybe in a situation that might need a bit of awareness, is to ask the right questions to understand where the other people around them are, so that they don't just bring in this different level of energy that people aren't ready for. And that's why, say, if you're doing a presentation and everything like that, quite often people like you and I who've been successful and have lots of things going on, you don't go in and go, oh, I've got 5 awards and I was in the newspapers and da-da-da. You actually need to go back and say, I went through a period where I was waking up 10 times a night like I was being punched in the stomach. I was crying. I was depressed. My marriage broke down. A job loss. Boom, 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 boom. So you bring yourself first energetically to where they are around you, and then bring them slowly up to the positivity, if that makes sense. So I think it's just all about self-awareness, but also the awareness of the people around you as well.
Yeah, and I think within relationships, when you were talking about, you know, those relationships that we have outside work, when someone, I've learned over the years, when people say, oh, you've changed, I can relate it to that the person hasn't changed. They've just gone back to who they were, that they were putting on the show for a period of time in front of the other person, and then they just started to be themselves. And I tried to tell people, if you're going into a relationship, don't be that fake person. Just be who you are, because the relationship will last longer and forever if the other person just sees you for who you are, instead of thinking that you have changed as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's been aware of what the other person's like, because like, say, take Alex Ferguson, the old Manchester United football manager. Rio Ferdinand was saying that Alex was a very different person to different people, because he'd try and analyze what the person needed to get the best out of them in terms of performance and everything like that. And I think that shows really good empathy towards other people. And I think that's what we really need to have. Sometimes you do need to be a bit of a chameleon in this coaching kind of facility to be able to understand, what does the other person need? Quite often when people come to me for coaching, they say, oh, can you help me and can you coach me? And I hear you're great, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. What do you do? And I said, well, I normally say now is, well, what do you need? What do you want to achieve? I can put a program together, but that's me making an assumption. I prefer to ask you questions to understand what you need. And that's the same in life as well. It's about understanding what does the other person that you're having a relationship with need, and be compassionate and empathetic towards their needs and see what their values are and try and help them achieve their values. And you don't have to necessarily have the same values as them, but just match up to be somehow supporting them in their values, and hopefully they'll support you in your values, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's important, you know, forget the wants and look at the needs. Doug, tell me about the book. The book is, you know, it's one of many, I hope, that you'll be producing over the next couple of years. So just tell the audience, you know, what inspired the book and, you know, what information that they can get from it to change their own lives.
Sure. So when I started thinking about the book back in the day, it was very much I'd had the near-death experience. I'd moved away from the investment corporate world, and I started doing the coaching, consulting, corporate training and healing. And I wanted to be able to share the insights that I learned in terms of what I'd gone through. And then, as you know, which you helped me to, actually, I ended up starting up a radio show called Inspirational People, Inspirational Stories in Dublin City FM. And I did it for 5 years there and really enjoyed it. Great people there. And during that time period, I interviewed some amazing people, over 300 people. Everybody from, say, Niall Quinn, our superstar footballer, to Jack Canfield, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, Les Brown, many New York Times bestsellers. And what I also did then in the book is basically encapsulate the learnings that I had in that radio show from the interviews that I did. So it's not just about me, it's about the people that I interviewed and understanding their lives, their successes, and what worked for them as well. So the book basically helps people first find their sense of purpose, connect to their heart self, and direct themselves from their heart self rather than their head self. And then secondly, it helps you be able to, I have systems in place in there that help people with suicide, but also help people in terms of make more money, in terms of being able to get rid of those traits, those things that don't serve you, those triggers, those distractions, those saboteurs as such. And there's a process in there on that with examples as well. Then it goes on to how do you, you know, once you've got your purpose, then you've got rid of the baggage, how do you align your goals? And then how do you energize yourself? So it talks a lot about goal setting, how you can goal set, how you can get from where you are, where do you want to be. It also gives lots of tips and tricks that, you know, are in other books, yes, but some of them that I've used personally myself that I haven't seen in other books. And then it goes on to energizing yourself. I mean, obviously, I used to play, you know, I used to train international hockey players, captain international hockey players. I'm also, you know, master teacher healer of 5 modalities of healing, but also, you know, pretty successful C-level exec in terms of the investment corporate world. And now, obviously, in the coaching consulting world as well. So it encapsulates a lot of that. You know, how did I become successful in all those different walks of life as well? The tricks, tips, things that I went through, things that I failed in, to be able to then learn to get up to another level and actually succeed in the long term as well. And then finally, it talks a lot about relationships as well. And most importantly is obviously the relationship with your own self, which we talked about. And that keys in and links into emotional intelligence, which we talked about earlier on. And I go into a lot more depth into how to create better relationships, whether with your own self, with your loved ones, with your colleagues, with your clients, whoever. And that way then it brings the whole book together. And as it's called, is charge yourself up for success, energizing your life, work, and relationships. And it's got some great testimonies. I've got, you know, 3 New York Times bestseller testimonies in there. Stephen Covey, Lisa Nichols, Dr. John DeMartini, Eamon Quinn from Super Quinn, our very own in Ireland, Keith Barry, Pat Falvey, and a Star Wars actress as well. And they've all read the book and loved the book, so which is
cool. As someone described the book, it's a toolkit for success, something that they can flick through and go back to just to give them that extra little pep on their day as well. So good to hear that. Good to hear it. Tell me, as the show was called Getting It Wrong to Get It Right, what one thing have you got wrong in life, which nothing we get nothing wrong, but to get it right?
Wow, there's so many jokes. I think probably you mentioned toxic positivity. So at times maybe being overly confident and overly enthusiastic going into something and a direction or even promotion online, say, for example. And I think quite often what happens, again, is in the past is a lack of awareness. And that's where I think I had to work on that awareness, where, you know, I might go in trying to sell a product, talking about having been in the newspapers, having had this success, awards, blah, 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 blah. But actually forgetting that the person that I'm actually speaking to might not be there. And where are they there? And where am I going to take them? So talk about what is it that I can do to help them rather than what is it to do with me and what I've done, why they might be enticed. I think it's important to have some kind of track record in terms of, you know, testimonies and all that kind of stuff. But really, people want to know is what's in it for me? What can you do for me? And I think in the past, my biggest failure, especially in my marketing, I suppose, both even in the investment world, was talking either about how great the product was or how great I was, rather than talking about the journey that I could take the person on to change their life. And I think that's probably the biggest failure that I made in the mistake. And I still am working on that as I go along to make my marketing and promotion much more about the results of what I can give rather than who I am and how great I've achieved.
Emmy, what's the best business advice you've ever received?
Be patient. It can take, have a look at what you achieve over 10 years and don't expect it all to happen over 6 months. I think there's a lot of people out there that get fearful too early, and that's why businesses fail. The other thing I would say, which links into that, if you're in the corporate world and you're thinking about, you know, joining the coaching world or consulting world or whatever, have a nest egg. Have a nest egg, because let's face it, thankfully I had a nest egg. And when COVID happened, if I hadn't had that nest egg, I would have been in trouble. So before you just jump, make sure that you have backup of at least 6 months, because you never know what could be around the corner. And COVID obviously showed that for all of us.
Yeah, I think what people have to realize as well in business, especially if we're talking about, you know, sales, marketing, business development, it's a lot of work. You know, it's hard graft. You have to roll up the sleeves. You have to put in the time. You have to really sort of go above and beyond if you want your business to be successful. And, you know, a lot of people don't tell that story online, as you were talking about. You know, they talk about the wonderful things, but being humble of where you and me are aware when we sort of had to roll up those sleeves and power ahead. No one ever really talks about that. So I think people have to be truthful and honest about, God, you know, sleepless nights and feeling very anxious. But once you keep pushing through and have that belief, as you said, people give up, they can break through and have a wonderful experience in life as well.
Joe, I couldn't agree more. We did the Leadership and Life Mastery Summit last month and it went phenomenally well. We got some amazing feedback. Having said that, for the 2 weeks leading up to it, I was up till 3 a.m. most nights working on it and getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning then to continue working on it. And literally, you don't realize, but when it's your own stuff and you're passionate about it, you don't mind working that hard. But I can tell you something, if you are in doing anything and you don't feel like that, then you're in the wrong job. You need to be totally passionate and purposeful about what you do, because as an entrepreneur, it's a lot different than working for a corporate where you have everything done for you. The corporate world was easy compared to being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, and you talk about COVID, like we used to run the Change Your Mind, Change Your Life events. So we ran about four of them in 2019, and then COVID kicked in and went, oh my God, and that killed that all off. And you were right, getting those events, checking the numbers, who signed up, who's paid. You know, there's a lot of sleepless nights beforehand. And even on the day, you know, you have to, I learned running events that on the day, you just have to let go, stop worrying and going, it will be what it will be.
Yeah.
Instead of going, are they enjoying themselves? Are they enjoying it? Oh my God, is that person? Yeah. It's just let it go, let it be. Doug, if someone wants to reach out to you, if they want to buy your book, if they want to check more of your wisdom, where can they find you?
Well, the best place actually at the moment is at the leadershipandlifemasterysummit.com. And we have a relationship mastery workshop coming up with myself and Gosha Wojcielewicz on the 21st of March. And that's at the Academy Plaza Hotel in town. Love to see you there as well in Dublin. It's online as well. And it will be a great evening, workshop style, lots of fun, lots of networking, lots of exercise. And who knows, because it's relationships. You might even meet a partner if you're single, if you're coming along. But it'll be about love relationships and about business relationships as well. So that would be the best place to catch me over the next month. Love to see people there. And otherwise, you can catch me anywhere on the socials. And obviously, I have my website, dougdgordon.com as well.
Perfect. Doug, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Joe.